Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Happy Valentine's Day. Oh, yeah. Love songs. Well, it is technically Valentine's Day now in St. Louis, and we're happy you're enjoying it here with us on Overnight America, the most love-filled radio show that is live through the overnight hours. Much more lovely than ghosts. Much, much more lovely than ghosts. Do you have something good you'd like to share? You know, we do this thing called Tell Me Something Good. We do it every single 1 o'clock hour on Overnight America. And we like to hear the good stories, the good things you can share. I'm open to it. The number is 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I almost wanted to go off on a long rant about this Ash and Dash. I heard that news story there with Alex Stegman. Not a fan. I don't know. Anyone that's planning on doing it, I'd like to hear from you. But, man, I don't like it. But I don't have to. You know, like, I guess some people find comfort in it. I don't know. But I do want to talk about it maybe in a little bit. But if there's something good you want to talk about, please, please, please tell me. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. How about we start with this one? A 21-year-old father has been walking 5.5 miles to work and, of course, 5.5 miles to get back home each day to take care of his daughter. Think about how long it would take for you to walk 5 miles. I mean, that's like a long time. At least an hour. I mean, if you're going 20-minute miles, if you're walking, that's at least an hour, probably even longer. And think about showing up to work tired, and then you got to work a full shift, and then after work, can you walk home too? I bet that guy is about as skinny as a rail. But the man works at a UPS facility in Little Rock and told CNN that he continued to walk 11 miles each day to provide for his 14-month-old daughter, Carmen. He said, my pride is strong. Whatever she needs, I'm the person who is supposed to provide it for her. And that's the type of love a parent has for a kid. Doesn't matter what it is. They will do whatever it takes to make sure the well-being of that child is taken care of. So this happened in Little Rock, but it's being reported on Kansas.com. It says, KARK reporting that he'd been doing this for about 7 months, and his shift starts at 4 a.m., so he had to wake up at midnight. Oh, man. So it took him a long time. Now imagine in the middle of the night walking even. Oh, you got animals and weird noises going on. Said, I made it to work. I was never late. Doing this for my daughter, that's all. His coworkers at UPS eventually found out how he was getting into work, and they said, we got to do something about this. So at least one person, his coworker, decided that they're going to do something. Kenneth Bryant, a clerk at UPS, told KARK, it's a young man. He's only 21 years old. They wanted to do whatever it takes to make him be successful and take care of his family. So they did a little drive. They went around to everyone else, and they did a little collection. The coworkers all started pitching in some money, and they found themselves with about $2,000. I don't know how many people work at that UPS. Seems like a pretty good grab, right? So what did he do? Took that $2,000 and went out and bought a reliable car, 2006 Saturn Ion. I don't know if that's a good car or not. I don't remember. The Saturn's not around anymore, is it? Like Saturn got, but either way, I bet you it's at least better than walking Saturn Ion. Yeah, Saturn Ion. So they were astonished they were able to do this sort of thing. They didn't really tell him about it. One of his coworkers, they just said, come out to the parking lot, take a look. And this 21-year-old went out there, and there it was, him handing the keys over. Right over to Lewis. He said, I really appreciate it. I really do. Lewis said in the video, I knew things were going to get better if I just kept coming into work. So that's what I did. He says the keys are now attached to his UPS keychain. How awesome is that? What a good story. Co-workers bundling money together to help. You think we should do that for you, Ben? You don't have a car. Do you think we're going to pool some money together to get you a car? No, we're not going to do that. You don't walk to work, though. If you were walking to work every day, you get a ride into work. You're Mr. Be relied on public transportation. Remember when I first came to the station, you said at 4 a.m. I should be riding Metrolink back to my house? No thanks. All right, so we'd have not. We'll surprise you. Go out to the parking garage right now. There's a surprise in there for you. Yeah, no, there's not. You'll be surprised to find out it's just cold and nothing else. Kind of like this joke. So here's another story from Philly.com. This is an awesome story, too. I think could be effective. Different incentives work. I found out with my own kid, you can punish your kid, but if you take something away or give them an incentive, they're much more likely to, I guess, act on that over the long term. So if we want our kid to do something, we give him an incentive. And if he does it, he gets the incentive. If he doesn't do it, he doesn't get it. And that motivates him to do the things we want him to do. Or if he's throwing a fit or doing something else, we threaten to take something away. If they keep doing it, follow through, take it away. We find that he's extra good to try to get it back. I don't know why. It just works. That type of thing works with him. But there's a principal in Philadelphia that is doing something pretty unique. Mikkel Lindsay is aware what the world thinks of him. 14-year-old attending public school, particularly in the tough corner of Philadelphia, said, people look at me, say, you should be fighting. Lindsay's an eighth grader. Said, that's not him. He said he's part of an eighth grade class where a principal is attempting an unusual experiment. He said, Michael, and his 32 classmates, if they make it to graduation with no fights, no physical altercations, each of them gets $100. So they have to go the entire school year without fighting. And on Friday, the eighth grader's streak of peaceful days hit 70. Not a small feat for students surrounded by people responding to problems with their fists. 81% of his fellow classmates live below the poverty line in that area. Police data show it's one of the most violent corners in Philadelphia, not particularly a safe area. And the school has not been spared. In 2015-16, nearly a quarter of its eighth graders have been suspended at least once. The school has made significant grounds under their watch by Principal Stephanie Adderwelch. The $100 incentive was her idea. In fact, it's actually coming out of her pocket. She's going to end up paying a couple $1,000s if they can do this. Like, there's a lot of kids depending on her. To, what, $3,300? So 33 kids depending on her? If they can go the full year without fighting. She's hoping that a donor or a company will step up and underwrite that. But as of right now, there hasn't been. Now, since this story has come out, I got to imagine there's been some interest. Research out of Harvard suggests that financial rewards often offered by educators are most effective for things that children can control, such as reading books or doing homework. Researchers examined the use of incentives in 250 schools in five cities, including the effects of incentives on behavior goals. They said they have not heard of this offering money to eighth graders to not fight, but they said this can be effective. And guess what? It's working. You know what I was most impressed about this article? When they started to talk to the kids, it's not like they were saying, oh, I can't wait until the end of the school year. I'm going to just go out and fight like crazy. You know what these kids are saying? They've lost their lust to fight. Like, they don't want to do it anymore. You know, they used to say, don't mess up. They say, don't mess up my $100, but they say it's not like that anymore. They say it's like they just have forgotten what it's like to want to fight other kids. They don't feel the impulse to do it. That is awesome. Some 14-year-olds say fighting. They aren't fighting not just because of the $100, but mostly they just don't want to fight anymore. What a great thing, seriously. What an awesome thing this principal has started. And who knows? This could be effective. This could be ways of spreading this sort of idea. And I hope that principal finds a way to underwrite this so they can have more successful years in the future where these kids, they feel they don't have to fight. You know, do you got something going on? You got something positive you'd like to share? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. We'll take some of your calls. The positivity continues on Overnight America KMOX.
Look at that. Valentine's Day. There's apparently a lot of songs about love in the old archive. Producer Ben's having a fun time looking these up. It is Valentine's Day, after all. Something good happened to you? Something you'd like to share? I'd like to hear it. 314-436-7900. You can call or text that line or 800-925-1120. Let me get to Doug.
Doug, I haven't heard from you in a while. How you been?
I've been fine. How about you?
Good. So what's going on?
I've been listening to you. I just haven't been calling in, but I've been listening to you.
Oh, great. I mentioned you the other day. I can't remember what it was for. It was something music-related. I can't remember, but that's all right. So what's going on?
Well, I wanted to let you guys know that I told you once before that Donna and I work with a group of senior citizens we call the Joy Choir.
Right.
And, excuse me, Tuesday night we had a wonderful situation over there. We had this one lady. We wanted to have a concert. They wanted to have something for Valentine's. Well, it turned out that it worked out better instead of having an actual Valentine's program, since Valentine's Day is technically the same day as Ash Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
So we did this one lady. So my birthday is the 13th, and we said, really? She's the one that she turned 100.
100 years old.
Yeah.
It's quite a landmark. That's amazing.
Yeah, isn't that something? And so we sang songs that, you know, and we kind of let her and some of the other, that's the way Donna runs it. She lets them pick the songs. And so they picked songs like, you know, Ain't She Sweet, and Tea for Two, and stuff like that, real old songs. And this lady, this 100-year-old lady, she played her harmonica.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It was amazing. And we had a nice crowd. Her family showed up. You know, it was a good crowd, though. They really liked it. And we had to kind of do this little fill-in at first because her dinner was running late. So Donna and I had to fill in some time, and I had to sing a few. But nobody threw tomatoes, so I guess we did okay.
you know what they do in Barbados? I heard this not that long ago, that once you turn 100, if you make it that long, they'll actually put you on one of their stamps for their postal service.
No kidding.
Yeah, so they'll take a picture of you, they'll make you into a stamp, and it becomes official for them once you turn 100. How great is that?
Wow. That's really something. Well, they have a lady over there that is 105.
Wow. The things that they've been through and the things they've experienced.
I know. I'd love to sit and just talk with them, wouldn't you? That would be so
You
cool.
get to learn the things that most impacted their life. Back when, and this has been a while ago, I remember they would do interviews with people once they turned 100, and they would ask them, what's the biggest technological advancement that ever changed your life? And the people they would talk to, you would think things like computers and internet, that's for like people my age. But like people their age, they're like the washing machine. Before that, we would spend all day washing clothes, and then all of a sudden it would be done automatically. That changed our lives.
Sure.
You know, it's things like that. It's amazing.
I used to always think about my grandfather on my mom's side, my mom's dad. He was born in 1888.
Yeah.
And which means that when 1904 World's Fair came around, he was 16 years old.
Whoa. To be able to experience and have memories of that's amazing.
Wouldn't that be something?
Oh,
and the stuff he saw in his lifetime, I mean, holy mackerel. It's just
I know.
And think about that.
You think, too, something. How many different World War II veterans we lose every day, too. It's just, you know, they're there.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for sharing that, Doug. I'm glad
those are
still going good.
Yeah, things are going along, and I'll get back with you. We'll get together on that song you wanted. So,
yeah, Mike Anderson, our producer, had a song that he requested. But yeah, let's save that. That'll be fun. It'll be a surprise.
Oh, it'll be a fun thing. We'll figure out something to do with it. We'll have to throw Mikey in there somewhere.
Yes, please. Thanks, Doug.
You bet. Thanks, Ryan. Talk to you soon. Bye bye.
Oh, that's gonna be awesome. Oh, Bree calling in. How are you, Bree? Happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm just fine, except I'm cold.
You're in Texas?
Yeah.
What's the temperature where you're at?
Right now, it says feel. You know, it's 31 that says feels 29.
Wow.
And it's raining.
That's not good. That's way too cold.
It's cold outside. I was calling him because I wanted to wish Dr. Ron a happy Valentine's with chocolate kisses and plenty of hugs and kisses.
Aw, Dr. Ron, I hope he's listening. This is normally the time he would be close to calling in, you know, so I'm sure he's listening right now.
I've been, for the past about 5 months, I've listened to him, and I want to tell him, you don't give up. You know, just take every day. You get up and you put your boots on, and you say, "These boots are made for walking, and I'm walking right over you."
Oh, good, Bree. That's awesome for you to think about him. That's awesome.
Oh yeah, I listened to him the other night, and my heart just went out. I could tell that he was kind of down.
Yeah, well, because remember back in December, January, they thought there was a chance he'd be able to get back home, but that hasn't happened yet. He's still working on that, and he's still working on getting all of his health issues behind him. So even though the struggle is a long one, I know he's fighting it.
Now, the fight is not in the legs. And I'm 80 years old, so I can tell you this. The fight is not in the legs or the arms.
It's in the mind?
The fight is in the brain. It's in your mind. You just make up your mind that you're going to come out of this. And believe me, I've come out of some situations, and today I'm very healthy. One thing, I quit seeing the doctors. I started taking my supplements and eating plenty of eggs and bacon and vegetables and fruits, and I'm perfectly healthy.
Eggs, bacon, vegetables, and fruit, that's the key to it all, the healthy life?
Absolutely. To stay away from the artificial foods like margarine. Eat butter, eat plenty of eggs because they give you, the egg is the seed of life.
I love eggs.
I eat about 12 a day.
12 eggs a day? Are you serious? 12? A dozen eggs a day?
I'm very serious.
How do you eat them?
Well, I eat like three for breakfast, fried, and a little butter and some bacon, and then I eat an egg salad, or I eat the eggs in my tuna salad sandwiches, if they're in your pudding or if they're in something, your cornbread, you put a couple of eggs in there, so you can eat 12 eggs pretty fast and every day.
Do you have chickens, or are you going out and buying a dozen eggs?
No, I have to buy the eggs, and I can't understand it. For a long time here, they were like 50 cents a dozen, and now they're $2 a dozen.
You're going to have to buy them in more bulk. I mean, you'll have to get the 18 packs or whatever.
Well, I buy those, but it's not too much cheaper. I could go and get, there's plenty of, Tyson's and Pilgrim's and people with chickens around here, and I could go out and get fresh eggs.
Yeah,
I just don't want to go drive and do it.
You know what I love, Bree? I can tell you one of my favorite meals, if not my favorite meal on this planet. And, people love ribs or steaks or pizza or whatever it is. My absolute favorite food is eggs over easy. And then you have the runny yolk, which I'm able to dip my white breaded toast into. I cannot get enough of that. I love it.
That's exactly how I eat mine. I do different things with them. Sometimes at night I eat an egg omelet with spinach and kale in it, or bell peppers, because all of those foods are very good for you.
Yeah, my kid loves cheese omelets.
My doctor is 82. And when I went to see him just for my checkup, my yearly checkup, he said, "I think I'm going to do have a chest X-ray done on you." And I said, "Why, do you think there's something wrong with my chest?" He said, "No, but in 5 years, I haven't found, you have no high cholesterol. You don't have anything. I'm going to do this X-ray."
Just to make sure. He was skeptical. Well, good for him.
Just so I can show that I'm treating you.
Oh, that's good. I love those type of doctors. When we look for doctors, I look for the oldest doctor I can find. I want someone that's got some experience and looks at things with a pragmatically, as opposed to, I like the old school type of doctor that knows what they're doing.
Right. That's really what got us into this opiate situation, is doctors that don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
I wanted to tell you something. I've been keeping up with you. You're talking about taking your little boy, putting him in school at 3 years old.
Yeah, he's in preschool,
Yeah, because he has a speech
delay.
Problem.
Yeah.
Speech delay. My brother, they thought when he started to school, the teachers would have to call me out of my class and get me up there to find out what he was trying to tell them. And so they finally wrote it up that he had a speech impediment and that he needed to go and see a doctor. So my mother and I went to the took him to the doctor, and he examined him, and so he went to ask him questions, and he wasn't saying it where the doctor understood it. You could tell by looking at the doctor's face, you know. My mother or me would charm in and say, well, what he means is this, or, well, he said right. that. And the doctor said, that's exactly what the problem is. He said, you do not need to interpret for him mm-hmm. What he is saying, and as long as he has someone to interpret for him, he's not going to learn to speak.
Mm-hmm. No, I get it. When we're at the house, we understand him, but we know that he's always been behind. I mean, he's even at a young age, we knew that he was behind because it took him a long time to get to where kids his own age were. And a lot of things they just pick up on, but he was having a slow time to pick up on it. But this is working for him. The preschool is working a lot. In fact, when he comes home, we see him trying to talk a lot more. So we know that he is attempting to say his words. And this is only week number two for him. We're already seeing some positive type of effects by it. So, it's the regular school year, so they go and they'll have a summer vacation. He'll go back afterwards, and then they do another evaluation after 1 year. And I mean, I'm hoping by the end of the year he'll be getting close to caught up.
It took a few years for my brother to catch up, but I'll tell you what: when he was 12 years old, he told us that he was going to be a preacher.
Uh huh.
And we laughed, and we said, you can't be a preacher because you can't talk plain.
Mm-hmm.
So you couldn't get up and preach in front of a people because you can't talk plain.
Don't dare tell that to someone. They'll want to do it even more.
Right. Well,
good
guess
for
what?
Him. Yeah.
He went to the Navy, and he came out of the Navy,
mm-hmm.
And the Korean War, and had a really bad experience there. But anyway, he became a preacher.
Good for him.
Right, and he built a beautiful church in Arlington, Texas, over a 16-year ministry.
Mm-hmm.
But we lost him a few years back from Agent Orange.
Sorry to hear that, Bree. You know, but there's a friend of the family that just passed away a week ago, and the funeral was this past weekend back up in Michigan. Same deal. It's a shame. Hey, Bree, thank you for calling in and sharing that. I hope Dr. Ron heard it.
I want to tell you something else.
You got to be real quick because we're already late.
Give that little wife of yours a big hug and a big kiss, and just hold her close and just tell her she's the most beautiful and most wonderful wife that any man could ever have.
You got it. When I get home after the show this morning, she'll be sleeping. I'm going to do it right when she's sleeping.
Right. Wake her up.
Yeah. Thank you, Bree. Happy Valentine's Day to you.
Thank you, and happy Valentine's to you and to Ben. And play My Funny Valentine by Barbara Streisand.
Oh, okay. My Funny Valentine. We'll look it up.
Yeah, he knows that, My Funny Valentine.
Well, he's looking it up right now, seeing if we got it. All right, hey, thank you, Bree.
Thank you. Good night.
Wow. Well, there you go. Already running late, but you know what? It's worth it. Good to hear from Bree on Overnight America KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. You know what? This is what I like. When someone asks, why are all of our songs cut off to get to the regular cut? Why are all the... You said the luge guy just crashed? Ooh, what channel is that? NBC? 220. Let me check it out. You got all excited. Our producer Ben sees a luge crash live in South Korea, and he's like, you better go change and look at it. Are they showing Team Canada right now? Yeah, so I got to see if I can get a replay of that. I wasn't watching the Olympics. Ooh, of course. How fast are those people on the luge going? Like, how many miles an hour? They're like 100 miles an hour or something, isn't it? Those things are flying. Like, they can barely keep up with them on the camera's sake. They don't want to show a replay there. It looks like they're probably afraid he might be really hurt. Like, look at Team USA there. Was it Team USA? Well, there's some dude on Team USA talking on the walkie-talkie. That's not good. I guess you'll see replays of that on the internet. People will be posting this up. Looks like a pretty scary moment. Well, that got Ben all excited. Dr. Ron, how you doing? Dr. Ron, did you hear Bree?
Yes, I certainly did. She's going to send me some AIDS.
She's going to send you some hugs and chocolate kisses from Texas.
Oh, my God. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
You know what they used to say about Texas? You got a military down there?
What's
they
that? Say
if you go AWOL, they don't count you AWOL for 2 whole days. Do you know why? They can still see you running.
Well, it's so big. Some of these bases down there, it's unbelievable how big. I had a friend go through the Air Force, I believe. Is that where Lackland Air Force Base is?
Yeah, San Antonio.
Yeah, so we drove down from Michigan down there to visit him after his basic training ended. We thought we'd do a road trip, and it was pretty fun. I remember driving through St. Louis and seeing the arch. It was foggy. And then all the way down to San Antonio, we stayed with one of my friend's family that lived down there. And I'll never forget, I went outside without shoes or socks on, and the guy's like, not a good idea, there's scorpions out there. It was a culture shock. Didn't expect that, you know, living in Michigan, you don't see things like that.
Well, I tell you what, scorpions, but tarantulas too, don't forget them.
Oh, yeah, and I remember, too, the guy had one of those foot, what's that little thing, the little foot monitor? He had one of those things on, too, he's under house arrest. That was kind of cool. Yeah.
I tell you what they do to every area. So you got a bivouac area where you camp out.
Uh-huh.
Well, every month they can take a tiller and till up the ground or tear it all up there so no life forms hang around there. Yeah, we don't worry about having extra guests in bed at night.
Yeah, they got to go somewhere. Same thing happens like up in when I was living in Indiana or Ohio. So you knew when the crops were getting taken down, like if you whatever the crop was and the farmers were working on it, if there's a bunch of stray crazy animals out in the area, you know the crops were being worked on, mostly because anyone that were living in there all fled, you know, when the big machines came in, so there'd be a bunch of stray cats and other animals running around after that.
Cats are my favorite, but you're not yours, are they? Right.
No, they're not. But you've been getting updates about your cats back home?
Beg your pardon?
Have you been getting updates about your cats?
Yeah, they're doing all right there.
Yeah.
They're survivors, you know what I mean? They know how to take care of themselves. It's a rough world out there, but they adapt to it all the time.
Did you see a celebrity comedian passed away?
Which one?
Marty Allen.
Yeah, he was up there. His partner, Steve Rossi, passed away a long time ago.
Yeah.
Martin Rossi. But you know what his famous thing was?
What's that?
Marty Allen. Hello there.
Hello there. Yeah, it's catchphrase. His career began in the 50s.
I met him 1964 in Manhattan in a record store, 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
He was with some gal and partying and some crap like that. And they were buying records. And he's just as goofy looking in real life.
He was a goofy looking guy. His hair and his demeanor and things. He looked pretty funny. I wasn't too familiar with his work at all, so I had to go to YouTube and I started watching some clips of his. Some of their comedy duo, Allen and Rossi. He was 95 years old.
Yep, he was up there, believe me. Like I said, I met him in person. He's a friendly guy, and like I said, this is 3 o'clock in the morning, Times Square, and they're looking for records to buy for a party. I said, when is the party starting? And what?
Here's a line he had. This is not that long ago. It said, it's unbelievable to be 94 years old, Marty Allen told the New York audience in 2016. He was living in Las Vegas, apparently still performing. He said, my wife says, what do you want to do for your birthday? I told her, an antique. She framed my birth certificate. Oh, nice. Wife says, what do you want for your birthday? An antique framed my birth certificate. Now, that's funny. I like that sense of humor, so rest in peace. You know, I have some clips of his I might have to play in a little bit. So, Valentine's Day, how you feeling?
Oh, a little bit better. They were strictly a nightclub act, you know.
Yeah. Well, they were at, they did like, I was trying to remember, I was watching like Password or some of those like game shows where they'd bring on the celebrity guests.
Well, they made it big on TV is what made them. And like I said, Rossi, he was living in, I think he was living in Las Vegas when he died.
Yeah, he was in Vegas.
So was Jerry Lewis.
Yeah, I guess Jerry Lewis was. Was he doing a... I don't remember where he was. That sounds right.
He was living in Vegas. He died at 91. Red Fox, he was living in Vegas.
You know, that's people go there. They can make and extend their careers a little bit longer because people still like to see them perform. And people in Vegas, they're all about the performances. And even if it's someone like Marty Allen, they'll get a kick out of it and enjoy it.
Well, you know... originally, let's say 1950, when Vegas was starting to gain strength,
Yeah.
They used to close things at 2 o'clock in the morning, and they would close the shop during the gambling.
Yeah.
So along come people like Huey Smith and Louis Prima. These lounge acts they started up then. And that's how you got your lounge acts from Vegas, because they had to fill in time space when it was time to open up again in the morning.
Mm. You ever been to Vegas?
Yeah. It's just a little too fast for me now.
Yeah, I wasn't too impressed by it. I went there with a friend once, and I really couldn't understand why Vegas was marketing themselves as a family-friendly place, especially in modern-day Vegas. It didn't seem that was an accurate way to depict it.
Well, Vegas started out as a place where the workers, they were building Hoover Dam, remember?
Hoover Dam. Well, that's where the workers were?
Well, I mean, they had to do something there. There was nothing there.
Oh, I see. So that's where they would go, yeah.
So they legalized gambling there. But prior to this, I found out when I was in California that where the gambling was going on and everybody kept their mouth shut was Palm Springs.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. But nobody said nothing, you know.
All right.
It ain't bothering nobody.
Yeah. All right, Dr. Ron. Good to hear from you. I'm glad you're doing a little bit better. I know you're improving.
What was that girl's name?
Bree, who called in from Texas. Yeah.
Well, you tell Bree, thank you very much. I appreciate the kindness. And Valentine's Day, well, I'm going to mention somebody's name. You won't know who it is, but Jack Benny. You ever heard Jack Benny?
Of course, yeah. That's very famous.
Well, his birthday's on Valentine's Day.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Happy Valentine's Day. 39.
Jack Benny.
Yep. Very
good. All right. Well, good to hear from you, Dr. Ron.
Okay, good to meet you too, and Bree too.
And Bree too. Have a great night. That's really nice. I know Bree probably still listening all the way down in Texas. Gotta love the signal here on KMOX. Song's kind of hypnotic. If you wanted to brainwash someone, you'd be playing this song on a loop in the background. Yeah, you could probably very easily brainwash someone with a beat like that. Welcome back to Overnight America, where you are forced to listen to this radio program. Don't believe me? Keep listening to this song. Keep listening. Keep listening. Yeah. Subliminal messaging. Yeah, FCC loves that. Tom calling in from Ohio. How you doing, Tom?
Okay, you know, you and Forrest Gump and the show that follows you all have something in common, that life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You never know, indeed.
You know, I mean, from the standpoint of tuning into your show, you never know what direction you're going in, and that one that follows you is pretty much the same thing.
Our American Story afterwards?
Yeah. That is a great show.
It is. They do a really good work for it.
Keeps me up a lot longer than I want to stay up. But
yeah, Tom, when do you sleep?
As I can.
You just, whenever it is.
Yeah. You know, I did call, though, from the standpoint, I told Ben, he said, what do you want to talk about? I said, there's the common theme about people living long.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was Bree who said that she ate a dozen eggs a day.
Right, in different forms, yeah.
You know, there was a woman who was like 107 or something like that, or 110, and they asked her the secret of her life. She said, eating 2 raw eggs and a beer every day.
Mm.
And there was another woman who was, I think she was around 111, and she would take a shot and 2 beers every day.
Oh, wow.
And then you get the guy who his secret was a pint of or a bowl of vanilla ice cream.
The guy up in Toronto, I remember that one too, yeah.
And you know, and when you mention, who's the comedian died today, 95?
His name is Marty Allen.
Yeah, yeah. I've gone through so many of them that I grew up with, you know. But what I'm getting to is that it seems to be mostly true of comedians, but I think there's, to a certain extent, it's with singers too. If you think about it, many of them live a very long life, provided they don't screw themselves up with drugs or alcohol or something of that nature, or have an accident or a disease. But, I mean, think about it. George Burns, over 100. Bob Hope, over 100. Milton Burrows was up there. Don Rickles. I mean, there's just so many of them.
I think the musicians realized that, too. There was a thing I did on the other side of your state there, of Ohio, when I was working in Lima. It was a motorcycle, a charity motorcycle ride we did, but it was mostly a promotional thing we did with Dee Snider from Twisted Sister. We renamed the city of Kreidersville to Snidersville for a day, and we did like a big charity thing around it. Dee brought his family out. It was really great, and that's something I got to talk to Dee about. I said, why do you think there's longevity in your career and it doesn't happen with a lot of other people? And he said, the ones that you see last a long time are the ones that stay away from the drugs, and he doesn't think that's a coincidence. And he's absolutely right about that.
I think the other part is, you know, they say, like, when you're happy, your body chemistry is different.
Mm-hmm.
It really, you know, and your immune system kicks in. It keeps a healthier immune system and so forth. And I really think that, you know, when somebody's up on a stage performing,
yeah,
and you realize a singer is breathing deeply for that oxygen, and a comedian is, mm-hmm, laughing along with the audience, and it's those belly laughs, and the same sort of thing happens. And I really think that's part of it. The body chemistry, the applause, the appreciation, the fact that you're being appreciated by people, they're responding to you in a positive way.
Yeah.
You know, not everybody gets that. I mean, you know, the average person doesn't get that in the jobs that they do.
You know, I used to do a lot of rock stuff when I was working at a classic rock station, and I got to admit, I'm glad I don't work in music anymore. But one of the artists that the city brought in Lima was Eddie Money, very popular musician in the 80s, maybe 70s or whatever it was. And you can tell he did not treat himself well. When we did an interview with him, he was smoking through the whole thing. Every time I saw him, he was smoking. So he'd go on stage, he would sing a song, and then when he would come off stage, I was standing there watching what happened behind stage. He literally had two people holding him up because he collapsed because he couldn't breathe anymore. He put the oxygen on because of the smoking. And I'm thinking, why do you keep doing that? If you want to perform, you'll kill yourself doing this. And it was behind then you would have to go back on and do some more and come back off. He was sweating like crazy. It was hard to see that. And it's not all musicians, even though he might have had longevity, his body was like completely rejecting what he was trying to do.
Well, and you take Elvis Presley, as you were saying that, I was thinking of him. You know, he was, 45 when he died or something like that?
Yeah, he was young.
And it was a matter of, you know, taking the drugs so that he could perform.
Yeah.
I mean, trying to keep that image up. And I mean, you know, life's funny like that from the standpoint that you don't know one way or another. I mean, the events I can think of was
We got to go. We got news coming up.
No,
but
yeah,
and genes do a lot of it too. Sometimes it just passes down to you. You got nothing you can do.
Have a good one.
Thanks, Tom. That's what you got to watch out for. Another hour of Overnight America coming up next. I'm your host, Ryan Recker on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.